하루하루 감금하듯 수이상그랑 바라보티 이쁘티 마하듯 수이상.
Namaste, it's Sahara Rose, and welcome back to the Highest Self Podcast, a place where we discuss what makes you your soul's highest evolvement. And before we get into this week's episode, I am so excited to share that I am offering a free sample class from the Dharma Coaching Institute curriculum, especially for those of you who are interested, you're curious, but you want to get a little microdose of the experience. And this is our masterclass all about the energetics of sales. So if you're someone that really wants to create a business for yourself, coaching, maybe one day you see yourself writing books, launching a podcast, speaking on stages, but the whole like sales and marketing part feels really overwhelming, well, this masterclass is for you. I dive into reframing what making an offer really is about, which is actually making an offering, and allow you to see that a lot of the limiting beliefs that we have around sales comes from the fact that most sales in the past have been around things that we don't actually need. Think a used car, which actually is a lemon. But when we are offering our gifts as a coach, we are helping someone step into the highest version of themselves, which truly is the greatest offering that we can do. So we don't need to have that same shame or weirdness around it, but we can actually see it for the gift that it is. So if you're curious, you want to dive deeper into this topic and experience a sample class of Dharma Coaching Institute, you can head over to my show notes and try the masterclass right now. Also, I'm so excited to announce that doors are officially open for Dharma Coaching Institute for our October class. So once you download the sample class, you'll get all the details to join us for our early bird special this month. I'm so excited to see you inside. If it's your first time listening, welcome. I'm Sahara. I'm a best-selling author, host of this podcast, and founder of the Dharma Coaching Institute that trains soul purpose and spiritual life coaches. And I'm super excited to really dive into the topic of soul purpose in this conversation. If you're not aware, I recently wrote a book called Discover Your Dharma, which is all about stepping into your soul's purpose. So in this episode, I want to talk about how that purpose can actually evolve and transition over time. And in fact, how that is a sign that you are in alignment. So first, you're going to hear me say the word dharma. What is dharma? So your dharma is essentially the big reason why you are here. And it's more than just what you do, but rather it is the frequency that you carry. So I host this podcast, but I wouldn't say my entire dharma, my soul's purpose is just to host this podcast, but rather this podcast is a medium through which I live out my purpose. And I can also do so through writing books, through sharing on social media, through DJing, through dancing, through hosting goddess circles and rose gold goddesses, through teaching and so much more. So this really is a more expanded view around our purpose. I feel like in our Western society, we're so hyper-focused on purpose as in our career, thinking our purpose needs to be this thing that we do as our jobs. And for some people, it's actually not going to be the case. Some people actually like to keep their purposes as things that are very sacred to them that they never end up monetizing. And for other people, they want to focus on their purpose full time. So they need to figure out a way to monetize it so they can devote their full days and all of their attention towards this thing. And both of them are beautiful paths that you can take and ones that I share in my book, Discover Your Dharma. So in this episode, I want to share with you this idea, this concept that I essentially came up with after the book came out called The Dharma Evolution. And the reason this came to be is because I found myself questioning even what my dharma was. And I'm like, I literally wrote the book, Discover Your Dharma. How am I questioning this? But I realized that my dharma was shifting and evolving. As I finished this very big role of my dharma, which was to write the book, but there's so much more to me. You know, there's this side of me that wants to explore myself through being a mystic and writing poetry and being in my artist. There's a side of me that loves to create experiences through people, through DJing, through hosting events, retreats. So there are all these other multidimensional aspects of my being that were not just encompassed under the role of being an author and a teacher. So I realized that that didn't mean that my dharma is done or it failed, but rather it meant that it evolved. And one of my gifts is I'm able to notice patterns. So I look at life and I notice what are the patterns that I see continually occurring. So I essentially broke down these different stages of the Dharma evolution into 8 stages that I'll share with you on this episode that I go way more deeply into in Dharma Coaching Institute. And the purpose of this podcast is to allow you to first of all see which of these stages that you were in, but even greater than that, to give yourself permission to evolve. Because many of you listening, you may have had careers that you were very enthusiastic about for years, but right now you're feeling a shift. You're feeling like there's more to you. There's this aspect of you that you haven't quite yet explored and you don't know where it's taking you. And I'm going to guess, because you listen to this podcast, there's a spiritual side to you. You're probably that friend that people come to when they're seeking guidance. You probably are naturally diving into personal development and spiritual growth and astrology and human design and herbology and past lives and ancestral healing. And these types of things are actually fun for you. You want to dive into them. And maybe you've been diving into them for a while, but you feel the next step is, how can I share this with others, particularly with people who have been where I have been before? So maybe you are a mom of young children, and you know what it's like to feel overwhelmed and burnt out and like you're giving everything. And you've learned how self-care can be such a radical tool to reclaim your sovereignty. And that's what you want to share with others. Or maybe you are a pharmacist that never believed in anything natural until you experienced health challenges. And that caused you to look more deeply into the foods you were eating and dive into herbs and naturopathic, alternative, holistic, Ayurvedic medicine. And that's what you want to share with other people who have experienced similar issues to you. So our dharmas really aren't outside of us, but they come in that integration of what we love with what we've learned. So your dharma is the integration of what you love, you're obsessed with, you're Googling, you want to have conversations about, you can do this all day. And what I've learned, what did I learn from my past experiences, whether it was a challenge, a health scare, a breakup, a move, a breakdown? And now how can I integrate the two? And as we move through life, this is going to evolve. This is not set in stone, but rather you're going to learn different things. You're going to love different things. And the point of the compass is going to continue to move with you. So your dharma is not set in stone. It's not a one-time process or understanding, but rather it is a lifelong evolution. So let's dive into step one. So step one is not knowing your dharma. And that is where the majority of the world is. So most people have never really even asked the question of what my purpose is. If you go on the street, you ask someone, are you living your purpose? They would look at you kind of funny, because for most people, it just feels like too of a bombarding question to even begin to comprehend. Like, why are we here? I don't know. Why am I here? Who knows? Like, what's for dinner? So most people have thought about it, but it feels too colossal of a question that they don't allow themselves to sit with it long enough to hear the answer. So when you're in stage one, you don't know your dharma at all. And this is why I train dharma coaches at Dharma Coaching Institute, to be those bridges for people to start asking those bigger questions. How can I connect the dots to the different experiences of my life? How can I step into my dharma archetype? Am I a teacher, nurturer, entertainer, researcher? And then how can I find my mediums that flow through me? How can I know my superpowers? How can I tune into what's exciting for me? And then use that, we call this actually the Dharma blueprint, and use it to navigate you towards your purpose. So step one, stage one people, I'm sure you know many people who are there in your life. Now, stage two happens once someone believes they have a dharma, because you're not going to find your dharma. You're not going to know your soul's purpose if you don't believe that you have one. So part of moving out of stage one is to first believe that you have one. And that brings us into stage two. I believe that I have one, but I don't know what mine is. So this really looks like diving into personal development, going to seminars, reading different books, listening to different podcasts, going to therapy, coaching. Maybe this is what brought you here. So you're on a journey of self-discovery to realize who you are, what your purpose is, but you still aren't really sure what that looks like for you. So this is really the time to believe in yourself, to believe that you are here for bigger things, because sometimes what happens is we're faced with family resistance, expectations, people pleasing, fear of the unknown, scarcity mindset, limiting beliefs, all of these different obstacles that we face. And sometimes that causes us to go back to stage one. So this is a really important time to trust and believe that you have a purpose. And when you have that confidence built that you're like, okay, I might not know what my full purpose is, but I'm trusting I'm on the path. That's what's going to bring you to stage two. So stage two is about taking action on your Dharma. So at this point, you're passionate about what your next step is and you're ready to take action. So this is really when you're in go mode. You might be signing up for a new training, like coming to DCI, Dharma Coaching Institute. You might be working a new job. You might be writing your book. You might be launching your podcast, starting a business, taking classes, really doing anything that's bringing you into action towards your Dharma. So when I speak about the chakras, this is really the solar plexus action stage. You're in your sacred doing. So this step of action is quite longer than the other stages because it takes time to get something off the ground. You know, you're not going to become a purpose coach overnight. You're not going to write your book overnight. You're not going to become a confident podcaster in a week or a month. These things take time. Like at DCI, it's 6 months of training. So know that it takes time. So if you're in the action stage, continue to take action, continue to follow the momentum. And the biggest obstacle that people experience here is that overwhelm, that feeling of, oh my God, I still have so far to go and I want to quit because I didn't realize how much work it would be. So this is why it's so important at this stage to connect to your why. Why did you start this in the first place? Why did you decide to become a coach? Why did you launch this business? Why did you go into this field? Reconnect with your heart, because this is what's going to propel that energy. It's the ignition, it's the fire underneath the stove, that if the fire is off underneath the stove, you're not going to cook anything. When you reconnect to your heart, you reignite that fire, and then it's easy for it to burn and simmer and move through things that might even be hard and challenging that happens when you're living your Dharma. Then that moves us into stage four, the first experience of living your Dharma. So this is when you're finally living it. You feel and witness yourself living your soul's purpose. You feel in alignment, flow, gratitude. You are finally here. And this might be when you worked with your first client, or when you're fully in launch of your new product line, or you're fully in swing of things at work and you're like, yes, this is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm here. Like, I love what I am creating. So this is such an important moment that a lot of people overlook because they're so focused on what they need to do next and how much farther I need to go that they forget to celebrate. And celebration is such an important energy because when we celebrate, we amplify. We pay attention. We become mindful of what matters. So whatever we focus on persists, right? If I think about red cars, I'm going to start noticing red cars everywhere. Now, if I tune into a celebration mindset that I am celebrating, like, yes, I just worked with my first client and it felt so good and I'm seeing them transform right in front of me, and you really let yourself celebrate that, you start to attract more of it. You start to see more opportunities of more ideal clients. You start to notice how much farther you've gone in other areas of your life. You start to heal your relationships, heal your money mindset, and so much more. So it needs to start through celebration, through that acknowledgement of what's working. Because when we put our focus there of what's working and how far you've come, which, by the way, you even listened to this podcast, shows you have a lot to celebrate for, because the average person is not listening to this podcast, you know, like, you've done a lot of healing work to even be in this space, even to be receptive to these types of messages. So just that, I'm applauding you. So celebrate that. Look at how far you've come. Where were you even a year ago? And how many lessons have you learned? Take a moment to journal that even right now. Hit pause on this and journal how far you've come, or do it after this. But it's really important to celebrate your wins, to regulate your nervous system, and to show your mind and your body that it was all worth it. You know, if we don't celebrate, our minds and bodies get so caught up in the striving and the not having that we lose the momentum, you know, because we're like, well, why should I keep going this direction? Because I'm not even getting anything out of it. When you celebrate, you start to remind, you create evidence for your mind. You start to embody the energy of joy, celebration, growth, that the mind is like, wow, it is safe. I'm progressing. It's worth for me to continue doing this. And the body echoes that sentiment. So this is why it's also both physically and somatically so important to celebrate. So that moves us into stage five, you know, and then we're done. We're living our dharmas forever. Mm-mm, there's still three more stages to go. And that's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing that we're continually evolving. We are the seasons. We are the cycles. We are the rhythms. We are the ways. We're going to continue to evolve and grow. So stage five, feeling an urge, a little scratchy scratch to shift due to lessons learned. So if there's one thing you can trust in this lifetime is you're going to continue to learn lessons as long as you are alive. And even after that, in different lifetimes. So that is the beauty of growth, that sometimes we feel like we're on top of the mountain, we have it all figured out. And then that mountain has a little bit of an earthquake, you know, and sometimes it actually feels like the ground moving before your feet. But sometimes it's like, I actually want to keep climbing this trail and see where the next peak takes me. And the next one, and the next one, and the next one. So learning your dharma is not about getting somewhere, but really it's about the journey and the cycle. And that really is the path of the feminine. We move in spirals. You know, nature moves in spirals. If you look at a seashell, a turtle shell, if you look at really anything in life, it's never straight. It always has, it waves and it flows. And that's really what nature, the divine mother, is created from. So we are the same. As we step into our purposes, different expressions and iterations, our soul contract reveals to us new areas for exploration and growth. So at the beginning, it might look like you're really excited about other things. And then it might even look like the things that you are doing feel really draining. So maybe the first thing that you do, let's say you have a business, you start to hire out for the things that are very draining in your business. Let's say you're doing all the customer service work, you hire a customer service person. Let's say you're doing all the tech, you hire a web designer. Or maybe you're within a company, you shift your roles there. You used to love doing HR, but now you want to move more into coaching. So you start to shift because the old shoes start to feel stuck and tight, and you're ready to try on some stilettos or some moccasins or something else, something new. You don't know what the shoe is, but you know that this shoe is not fitting. So this is really giving you valuable feedback that you can only gain from action. And it's completely natural to evolve with more awareness. In fact, every single person does. We go through life, we try, we learn things, and that makes us shift. You know, even foods you used to love, you don't love anymore. Even friends you were super close with, you're not as close with anymore. So how can we expect our purposes to be stagnant when we don't even like the same sandwiches that we liked a few years ago? You know, everything changes. I think I'll like peanut butter for the rest of my life, to be honest. It's that kind of relationship, but who knows? Anything can happen, and chocolate. So this is where a lot of people give up. I'm going to be real. A lot of people give up. They think they're a failure, or they like hold on to that thing because they're like, I tried so hard to be here. I worked so hard and this is the thing. And now I'm trying to get out of it. Like, no, I need to stick with it exactly how it is, because they don't allow space for evolution. It's like, even in relationships, like you might have entered into a relationship as one person and you evolved so much throughout the years of being together that sometimes you need to rewrite the rules of your relationship, you know, both like literally and unspokenly, of just, hey, here's how I show up in the world now. Here's how I honor and respect myself. Here are my new boundaries. Like, get to know the new me as I'm getting to know the new me. Sometimes you need that. So, and this is also when people give up and quit. So they're like, hey, I've changed and evolved. This relationship is done. And sometimes the relationship is done, but sometimes it just required a renegotiation. So the same thing happens with our dharma, that sometimes you just need to renegotiate the terms. You need to change how it looks. It doesn't mean it's a failure. It just means you need to shift roles a little bit. And sometimes that chapter of your dharma is done. You know, you maybe spent years doing hair and you're just like, I've gone as far as I could go. And like, yes, I see how I could grow in this. I could do like shamanic haircuts with affirmations. Like, I see that potentiality. But when I tune into my heart, I don't want to do hair anymore. I just really love having conversations with people on the chair. And so I want to step more into coaching, therapy, you know, something like that instead. So this is why it's important to allow yourself to be honest with how you feel. And also to know that there sometimes is a honeymoon stage when starting something new, especially a project like a book or a podcast. Like at the beginning, you're so excited about it. You want to keep doing it. You're like, yes, I'm doing it. And then the writer's block hits. And then you've been podcasting for 6 months and your numbers aren't growing. And then life happens, right? So know that there often is that honeymoon stage, but that doesn't mean that it's over. It means that you deepen your level of commitment to it, should you choose to continue to commit to that thing. So you deepen your voice. Maybe at the beginning you were podcasting and you were kind of repeating everything that you heard from other podcasters. You thought that's what's going to make you successful. And now you're ready to like really let out the magic sauce that you've been holding back. Or maybe you're writing a book and at first you're like, oh, I have so much to say. And now you're like, oh my God, it's really confronting to write my story. And this is when you deepen, you buckle down. Why is it confronting? How can I go deeper into it? Or maybe start coaching. You love working with your first few clients and you have one client that there's a little bit of tension there. You know, maybe they weren't happy with the coaching session. Something happens, you know, life happens. Not everything is always perfect all the time. So that doesn't mean that your coaching career is over. That means, wow, what a beautiful opportunity. I'm facing resistance right now. And how can I go deeper into myself to notice what is this resistance bringing up in me? Maybe it's this feeling of I'm not enough. Maybe it's this feeling of if I shine my true light, people will abandon me. Maybe it's this belief I have of I'm not good at finishing things. And that's coming up for me to heal and clear. What a blessing. So this stage is really important for you to know. Were you just inspired by a shiny object? And is it just because the work is getting tougher that it's easier for you to daydream about something else that doesn't actually require you to show up to what is needed? I mean, I give it to you real. And that happens so much. I see a lot of people, they jump ship just because it was about to get real and they couldn't handle it. Because it's easier to be like, you know what? Maybe I'm supposed to do this. And now maybe I'm supposed to do that. Maybe I'm supposed to do that. Because there's no friction when you're daydreaming. There's no actual realities when you're daydreaming. It's just in your head. So it's, of course it feels light and easy because it's not real. And this is what I see in the spiritual community happen so much. These people who have big visions and it's amazing. And I pray to God for them to channel just one of them. Because one of them will really heal the world, but you daydreaming about 100 of them is not. It's not going to do anything. And again, I'm calling a former version of myself out here because I used to be that person. So if you are that person who's like, oh, wow, I do recognize that I start a lot of things. And the moment it gets hard, the moment I hit month three, I get busy or I find another shiny object and I create a story of why that thing didn't work for me, but it was actually me, not committing to something. And this is why anytime I do sign up for a training, I'm committing to finishing that training. I'm not going to sign up for a million trainings and not show up. And that's really in creating Dharma Coaching Institute. I created it to be legit a portal of transformation that you go through. Otherwise, it just becomes another online course thing that you sign up for and you don't really see any results. And that's not what's going to change your life. And it's definitely not what's going to change the world. So I really call people forward to seeing that higher version of themselves that requires them to show up and do the work and be on calls and practice and get feedback, because it's the only way that you're going to become stronger as a speaker, as a thought leader, as a writer, as anything that you want to be. It comes through the tangible practice of it. So as long as you love who you're becoming through the journey, then keep going. If you don't, you know, again, you might say, I don't love continuing to do hair. I don't love the version of me. If I think about myself 3 years from now and I'm still doing hair, I don't like that version. Okay, then it's time for you to look at what you've learned from the experience and how can I now integrate that with what I'm loving right now? Or if you're like, I love who I'm becoming through this experience and it's challenging as fuck and it's super confronting and it's bringing up all my own shit. Keep going, because that's the juice. That's the magic sauce. That's how you become an embodied leader. Not someone who's talking about it, not someone who's memorized whatever is the trendy spiritual topic to talk about today, but someone who is embodying the vibration of their Dharma, and you can feel the difference. So from stage five, we move into stage six. And this is a very crucial stage to evolve and move forward. This stage is all about integrating the lessons learned. So too often people think their previous career was a mistake and they disregard the lessons learned. They're like, oh yeah, and I used to do hair for 20 years. And like, that was crazy. I hated it. How many times have you heard someone talk about something they did for years? And it's like this thing that has nothing to do with them now. And I understand that you want to distance yourself from who you were in that stage of your life, that you no longer feel like you're that version of you. And I understand that. However, who you became through that experience is why you are the way that you are today. So it's not about brushing it off, but rather it's about the integration. So let's say you were a kindergarten teacher for 7 years. And now you're becoming a coach, but you're like, well, I don't want to tell people I was like a kindergarten teacher. Like they're going to think I'm childish or whatever. No, like what did you learn as a kindergarten teacher? That should be what you lead with. Like I'm a coach and I really exude a lot of patience and understanding. And I'm able to take complex things and make it playful because of the 7 years that I was a kindergarten teacher. Like that to me makes you interesting. That to me is like, oh, wow, that's a really unique life experience that I would want to learn from, even though I'm not in kindergarten, you know? So sometimes we throw away our experiences and the experience can be one that you're even ashamed about. You know, maybe you were in jail and you're like, I don't want people to know this about me. Like they're going to think I'm a criminal. They're going to think I'm untrustworthy. I don't want to talk about that stage in my life. But what lessons did you learn in jail? Who did you become in jail? What did it teach you that was valuable to you in your life? And how does that now integrate in what you're sharing today? That's someone I want to learn from. So often the things that are actually the most interesting about us, we discard away because we feel like they don't fit into the picture when they actually are the colors of that picture. They're what paint it with experience and livelihood. So really start asking yourself, what did you learn from that experience? What did it teach you about yourself? What did you like about it? What did you not like about it? How is that valuable feedback? And what tools can you bring to the next iteration of your dharma? So for me, for those of you who don't know, my career really started with writing books on Ayurveda, the world's oldest health system, the sister science of yoga based on the mind-body connection. So my first book was called Eat Right for Your Mind-Body Type, which is all about digestion and nutrition for your dosha, the mind-body type. Then I wrote The Idiot's Guide to Ayurveda, which really was an introductory textbook to Ayurveda. Then I wrote a book called Eat, Feel Fresh, which was a modernized plant-based approach to Ayurveda. I've created the Ayurveda course for Mind Body Green. I've taught it at Google and Facebook and to millions of people around the world. I mean, I had a 7-year long career solely focused on Ayurveda. And then I noticed within myself, and this was even before my book Eat Feel Fresh was coming out, but I was getting a little bit tired of just talking about the doshas. You know, what's Ayurveda? What are the doshas? What should each of them eat? Like I could say it in my sleep at this point. And I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to talk about why we feel the way that we do and what is the meaning of life and what is our purpose and how can we live it and how do we connect to our divine feminine energy? How do we bring joy to the world? What are our past lives? How do we heal our ancestors? How do we connect to our highest selves? What is embodiment? Like these were the conversations I wanted to have, but I figured I would never fit into the box of, you know, what people come to me for. They come to me when they want to learn about what should I eat for my pitta imbalance, you know? So I got to stick with that. And then I saw this Ayurvedic doctor and teacher who's like in his 60s. And he was talking about what the doshas are in Ayurveda. And I thought to myself, wow, if that is me in my 60s, I won't be happy with this lifetime. Again, some people can really commit to one thing and that's who they are forever. But for some of us, we really shift and evolve. And also too, I think in the former generation, they didn't even allow themselves to. I don't even know if he really wanted to explain the doshas for the like 1 millionth time, or if he just felt like he needed to, because that's what people came to him for. It could also be that. So I started to be honest with myself. I want to have these conversations. And one night in the middle of the night, I changed my Instagram handle from Eat Feel Fresh, where I was sharing food, to my name. I am Sahara Rose. And I wrote a post. I'm like, hey guys, like, I'm sorry if you don't like the direction this is going in, but I can't talk about food and nutrition and take pictures of food that takes me like 10 hours to make and photograph. I'm not even eating them because I'm full by then. And I want to talk about why we're alive and past lives and shamanism and herbs and sisterhood and the witch wound. Like, these are the kinds of conversations I want to have. And that's what led to me creating this podcast, because I wanted a forum to have these discussions. And now this podcast is over 5 years old and it shifts and evolves as I do. Every single week, I'm exploring different topics and it's given me so much freedom to explore my own dharmic evolution and share some of these different concepts. And even talking about Dharma now, you know, 3 years, I've only been really focused on Dharma, and I can even feel that next evolution is coming through of me as a poet, as a mystic, as a DJ, as a dancer, and these other areas of my life that relate to my Dharma, but are showing up in these different ways. So I share this with you because you might be in the stage right now that you had a career that was successful, that served you, that people might still come to you for, and it feels really scary to move on because you worked really hard on it and here you are, like where you once dreamed to be, but you can still feel something's missing. You might not fully know what that is. You might have glimpses of it. You might know the whole picture, but you got to be honest with yourself of how you feel right now. So I'm not saying you got to quit cold turkey. For me, I integrated Ayurveda into understanding your Dharma. I created a course, Doshas and Dharma. And so I started to integrate that. And then until finally I could just talk about Dharma. And then finally I can just talk about spirituality, and just the ship slowly starts to move. It's like one kayak connects to the next and that other kayak can go and it finds another one, and it continues to move forward. So I share this with you because you might be in that space right now. And again, doesn't mean you have to abandon. Integrate the lessons learned and now step into this next evolution, this next cycle. And again, maybe it's just you getting educated on a new thing that's really interesting to you. Maybe you want to do yoga teacher training. Maybe you want to learn Reiki. Maybe you want to go learn how to garden. There's so many things that you can do, but you have to trust where your excitement is guiding you, because excitement are the breadcrumbs to guide you towards your Dharma. So in this stage, it might not just be one thing. One thing will bring you to the next and bring you to the next. And this stage also, it can be a long one, and it really continues because you're going to keep finding new things. You know, for me, just the example of DJing in 2019, I just had this urge within me. I'm like, you know, when I was in college, I always wanted to date a DJ, you know? So then I realized, wait, I wanted to date a DJ because really I wanted to be a DJ, right? Because be who you want to date. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to learn how to become a DJ and go to DJ school. It was right after my wedding and we were moving and we were so busy. I had so much going on. I was writing Discover Your Dharma. I was launching Rose Gold Goddesses, but I still showed up every single week for those DJ classes. And even though I had so many excuses, I didn't have time to go. I was exhausted by the time it started at night. I went. And every single time after, I felt like I was on cloud nine because I learned a new thing. So I continued to follow those breadcrumbs. I DJed at my birthday party and then my friend's conference, like seminar, and then this other thing. And now I have my first paid festival gig coming up this fall. So I share this with you because it was just this tiny little baby, this little seedling that I continued to water and water and water. Even though I felt tired as shit sometimes, I kept watering it. And now it's continuing to grow. And it doesn't mean that now I'm going to like full-time be a DJ, but it's an expression of who I am that I get to talk about, that I get to weave into my retreats and my events and my workshops, an offering that I bring consciousness through. So I share this with you because not everything that you want to do, you don't need to have the full picture of what it looks like. Sometimes you learn certain things because the skills that you learn through them shift who you are. For me, becoming a health coach, I'm not a health coach today, but it radically transformed my life. And then moving into becoming a life coach, a truth coach, a Dharma coach, which is now what I share with other people. And I've had so many students at DCI who through at first, they only signed up for DCI, which is Dharma Coaching Institute, to learn about their own purposes. And then through doing the curriculum and getting all the practice experience, they realized, wait, I actually do have what it takes to become a coach. And then from practicing coaching, they're like, my dreams are so much bigger. I want to speak on stages. I want to write books. I want to create a movement. So they would have not have even gone into that area of their Dharma had they not started with following the thread of becoming a coach. And before that, wanting to step into their own purposes. It's had they not stepped into wanting to know their own purposes, they wouldn't have followed the thread that led to, they actually want to create a whole movement of people living their purposes. So I share this with you because those little nudges that you get, the experience they're showing up in front of you, they can guide you so many places. And again, different time periods of her life have different expression. I went through this whole womb healing training and I was doing all this deep womb work. And it was just this beautiful season I was in that maybe I'll come back to. It's just not my main thing right now. So sometimes we just need to learn tools to have in our toolkit for them to really come up in the perfect moment. And also from what we learn from that and who we become from that to be integrated in how we show up in the world. So this really continues to evolve and evolve. And then we move into stage 8, which is called Beyond Dharma. So I remember asking Deepak Chopra what his Dharma was early in my career. In fact, it was here on this podcast. If you go back, I think episode 14, I remember this because 14 is my lucky number. I interviewed Deepak Chopra and I asked him, what is your Dharma? And he said, I'm beyond Dharma. So at that point, I couldn't even imagine that. Like, how can you be beyond your Dharma? It's your purpose on this planet. Now I've realized that and have too gone beyond Dharma. So the switch really occurs when you are even beyond the role that you are playing in humanity, as beautiful and as helpful as it may be. You realize that you're not your personality, you're not your identity, and that there is no self to even love. You are an infinite being, limitless, the cosmic void, eternity, everything, nothing. So this is really a state of non-duality called samadhi, which is complete oneness and union in all. It's really when you've dropped any story of who you are and why you're here, and you realize yourself as a vessel of pure consciousness and light. So this doesn't mean that you tap out or you stop sharing your gifts. In fact, I've noticed that a lot of people in the stage, like Eckhart Tolle, Deepak, Sadhguru, they actually become even more inspired and energized to share than ever before because it's no longer arising from the ego. Again, they still have egos, they're still humans, but they're more just feeling, and it's not just them as example. There's many people who are not famous who also are in the stage, but you're just completely open to what the universe asks you to do. You're beyond manifestation, you know? And this is why for me, I don't really work with manifestation anymore because I have nothing to manifest because I know that whatever the universe shows me is what is here to serve me. And I've just kind of gone beyond like, okay, I need this and like by then and I'm going to call it in. I definitely think that manifestation can help you with empowerment, but there are realms beyond that. And that's really when true trust comes to be that you no longer have this like very human desire to control your outcome. And instead you trust that if you surrender to the flow of life and you tune into where you're being asked to be of service, you will always end up in the right place with the right people and the right things around you. And you don't need to use the will and the mind and the struggle to manifest it or willpower it or make it happen. But again, you have to arise to that state naturally. So in this stage, what I noticed in myself is I no longer have goals. People ask me like, what are your goals? I don't have any goals. In fact, I don't really even have intentions because again, I just know what the universe has in store for me is what is beyond what my mind could even fathom. I could have never intended this. You know, I never had a goal to live in Miami at all. It wasn't even in my mind, but it showed up and here I am. And I don't know how long I'll be here. And if it doesn't fit anymore, I'll move somewhere else. So you just move to this different state of being that you're open to whatever is meant to come through without any preference of how it's supposed to be. And that's really a big shift. There's no more preference. There's no more, I like this and I don't like this. I want it to be this way, but not that way. And it needs to be a little bit like this. Like that again is coming from an egoic control place. But instead, when you drop preference, you're just, again, you're completely in service to humanity, however it's meant to show up. And you're also doing it from a place of joy. You're doing it from a place of fulfillment and unity and desire rather than a place of the mind or saviorism or martyrdom, which again, I have definitely been in before of like, shit, I need to save the world because no one else will. And it's like, how can I bring peace to the world if I'm not in peace with myself? So every single person has the ability to reach this state. And I will say, I'm not always 100% at this state. Like I can oscillate and slip into times that I'm like, oh, like I really want this thing to go well, but it's, to be honest, that rarely happens anymore. Like even with launches, I'm like, whoever's meant to come through will come through. I don't have any goals of how many people, I don't know, however many people feel a call. And it feels really good to be in this place because there's nothing left to be upset about because whatever you're served, it just is. And when you don't set any goals, you're just happy with whatever you're served. And it's this beautiful state because then you're constantly delighted and surprised. Like, oh, wow, like this person showed up. Great. Oh, wow. I met this person. Wonderful. You don't have expectations anymore. And you're no longer judging and you're just trusting. And if something doesn't work, it wasn't meant to work. Doesn't mean I'm not trying in life. I still show up and I record this podcast, but I don't have any goals of how many people listen to it. Doesn't really matter. Who cares? As long as I'm having fun, that's really what it's about. So I especially really shifted into this being in Morocco for a month because I had no goal. I wasn't really doing anything for a month besides traveling and exploring. And any form of like that old energy of like goal, achievement, success that was in me still, it just slipped away. It faded away with the Sahara Desert in the sandstorm that I was in. And now it's just like, I'm here to experience life. And those who want to dance, come dance with me. And those who don't, lovely, may you still dance. So this is really where I'm at right now. And it's such a beautiful place to be because there is no goal. You just are the goal. So this just may happen to you naturally. Like maybe as I speak, you're like, I feel this too. And maybe there are parts of you that feel this and you're like, but a part of me still doesn't really know what my Dharma is, but I also feel beyond Dharma. And you can have both within you. You can have, you know, different dimensions living inside of you, this part of you. Maybe you do a lot of ecstatic dance or breath work or different forms of healing. So that brings you into this really cosmic yet grounded worldview. So you have this side of you that's like, I don't really have goals and I want to share my gifts and make an impact. So you can have both. And for me too, I'm still very excited to share my gifts. I'm still very excited to see what comes through, but I don't have a goal like of, I need to write a book. I need to this, I need to that. I used to, and I think it really helped me. I think having goals can give us that fire and that motivation. And then we realized that the goal was really never about us, but rather it was like this dangling candy for us to fulfill our dharmas. Because once we get there and you see there's another one, you start to realize the game and you're like, oh wait, it's all about the living experience of it. And that's really what stage 8 is about. So as a recap, the 8 stages of Dharma evolution, again, this is a journey that I have channeled. So there is no more reading on this. I talk about and teach about it and teach you how to coach on it in my school, Dharma Coaching Institute. So if you do want to learn more, that's the perfect place. But the 8 stages again are not knowing your Dharma, figuring your Dharma out, taking action on your Dharma, your first Dharma experience, making shifts, integration, the evolution, and then moving beyond Dharma. So if you're interested in diving more into this, doors are open right now for Dharma Coaching Institute. Our next class starts the first week of October. So we are taking new students in right now. And if you're curious to actually try a sample class that you want to have an experience of learning from DCI, I've actually made my Energetics of Sales class available. It's a 90-minute deep dive into really healing our relationship with sales and marketing and selling and making offers, because for so many of us, that's really where we remain stuck. And when we remain stuck, we're not able to serve our gifts. And the world isn't able to receive the medicine and the codes that we are carrying. So if you're interested in learning more about DCI, hopping on a call with our enrollment team, or trying the Energetics of Sales Masterclass, you can head over to my show notes or dharmacoachinginstitute.com, and you will find it there. Again, you can find the show notes wherever you're listening to this. We'll have it all there. And it's Dharma, DHARMA, coachinginstitute.com. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please share with me on Instagram what stage or stages you felt most resonant in, and share this with anyone that's living their dharmic journey. Maybe someone's in a big transition in your life, that this will give them a feeling of affirmation and trust that they're exactly where they need to be. So thank you so much again for tuning in. And I hope to see you in DCI if it's aligned. And otherwise, I'll see you on the next episode. Namaste.